Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Watch over me, God, protect me as I journey through this maze of life. I got things on my shoulders that I can't carry, so I lay my burdens at your feet.
I got a problem, I got some issues, and that's why I'm playing Russian roulette with two pistols. You don't know what I've been through, they tell me I'm mental. I curse at people for nothing, I'm angry and resentful. I got a problem, I got a problem, and it won't go away. I got a problem, I got a problem, I do it every day.
Sometimes I feel like my mind's gone, this world is against me. I'm void of feelings, my cup of love is run empty. Nobody could tell me one word that could save me from all of these demons inside my head. Am I crazy? I wish I could leave here, never to return. This city on fire, inhale the fumes, watch it burn. I stare at my kids' eyes, they tell me they love me, but how could they love something that's so dark and so ugly? My life is a nightmare, I can't wake up from. I wanna get so high that overdose is the outcome. God forgive me, I feel like an outcast. I'm taking these class. I know that I won't pass, cause I got a problem, I got some issues, and that's why I'm playing Russian roulette with two pistols. You don't know what I've been through, they tell me I'm mental. I curse at people for nothing, I'm angry and resentful. I got a problem, I got a problem, and it won't go away. I got a problem, I got a problem, I do it every day. Problem, problem.
I try to drink all my pain away.
I struggle to pay my bills.
My health is declining, can't go a day without popping pills.
No one understands me,
someone show me a lifeline.
Or am I trapped inside this misery for a lifetime?
I know there's one lesson left for me to still learn.
My kid's mother hates me, that's why we sleep with our backs turned.
Sandy balls ain't helping me.
I'm my phone when I'm still depressed.
I'm dealing with so much stress, just look at the way I'm dressed.
When I look in the mirror now,
I hate everything I see.
That's something wicked I feel,
that's taking hold of
what
me.
What happened to all the happy times?
I'm missing the sunshine.
I wanna die, but don't know why. There's something broken inside my mind.
Maybe I should attend church,
I'd probably be happy then.
Rescued from this pool of self-pity I've been drowning in.
God forgive me,
I feel like an outcast.
But I know that I won't pass,
cause I got a problem, I got some issues, and that's why I'm playing Russian roulette with two pistols. You don't know what I've been through, they tell me I'm mental. I curse at people for nothing, I'm angry and resentful. I got a problem, I got a problem, and it won't go away. I got a problem, I got a problem, I do it every day.
I've been through.
They tell me I'm mental.
I curse at people for nothing. I'm angry and resentful.
I got a problem.
Problem.
I got a problem.
And it won't go away.
I got a problem.
Like I've been infiltrated. Mama told me I'm too related. By niggas I'm often hated. The reaper keeps me sedated. I waded through life's shadows, fighting personal battles, killing snitches who tattle. I slaughter bitches like cattle, placing them on the hit list, never leaving a witness. Only the real niggas will understand when I fit this. Watch me handle my business in a Gambino fashion. I kiss a fool when I kill him, homicide with a passion. Now he's missing in action, his body buried in vacant. Made niggas then paid us, we kill for my future wages. Read my murderous pages, travel through different stages, discovering my descendants been homicidal for ages. Proving that it's contagious, the reaper won't let him stop it. Since it's coming regardless, I might as well buck for profit. Spit with my Glock and drop it, leaving this body bloated. Left an ounce on the scene, how they figured out what's the motive. Purchase plastic explosives, hook it to your ignition. Hurry on recognition, found in the fetal position. Killing my competition, stimulates my ambition. My mission to look at fishing while cooking keys in my kitchen. For desire,
the penalty for fucking me, it's time.
Like chess, a mind full of strategies, weak soldiers get put to rest. Crossing enemy lines to find specific pushes. I'm a paid ghetto mercenary walking through ambushes, confusing opponents, escaping traps like Houdini. Showing that a G could lead an army like Mussolini. Foreign minister signing the order that I be captured. Then they found the fool assassinated just moments after. See, my objective is to conquer the whole regime and take the art of terrorism to the fullest extreme. Spies from other nations sharing their information, using pit bulls to implement interrogation. Government regulations, killing's my occupation. Federal judges murder with blood from AIDS patients. Biological weapons, play at your own risk. A mind full of terror, you're nutty, you're scientist. You wanna ride with me, come and ride to the other side. Keeping your grip up in the air as I guide you. Bucking on motherfuckers. Me and my pistol best friends whipping on you suckers. It's death before dishonor.
The penalty for busting me, it's time.
My credentials, a Glock automatic, snap with my initials. Nickel-plated pistol for workers slanging, yeah, your bunnies. Brought them all down from a different town, don't none of my workers know me. If you owe me and live in cozy, be prepared to enter. Your daughter's school and find her missing from the daycare center. How can you murder a killer? I refuse to die. Niggas be plotting and scheming on my drug supply. Witness a murder recital, flipping murderous pages. Ripping on organs, that's vital, with killer 12 gauges. How can you murder a demon whose heart never skips a beat? You better wake up. So be prepared to go, cause yo, it's time to perish. Chemicals alter my brain when I drain and strain. Some say the game can make you change when you having things. I'm a G, you a G, so for you and me, until they take us off this earth, it's death before dishonor.
The penalty for fucking me, it's time. Use the weapons on your anatomy. Death before dishonor. The penalty for fucking me, it's time. Use the weapons on your anatomy. Death before dishonor. The penalty for fucking me, it's time.
Weapons on your anatomy.
Death before dishonesty. Use the weapons on your anatomy. Death before dishonesty.
fans, what it do? This is King Eric, the media assassin, and we are now tuning in to episode 445 of Off the Cuff Radio. I got my host T-Max on the line along with Pittsburgh Pat.
What it do, y'all? Have a super Sunday. We here.
How y'all doing, man? Just a heads up, my internet's down, Eric. My internet's down, just so you know. I won't be able to message you throughout the show and stuff, but what's good with y'all, though?
What's going on, hey, Pat? Man, great to have you with us as always,
we figure we build in the meantime until we wait for Bootleg to call up. But in the meantime, what's going on with y'all out there?
Man, just chilling, man, you know.
Just lounging, man. Before we start the show, it was always keep it, you know what I'm saying, you know, current with the culture of hip-hop and fashion. We want to send a very, very, very respectful rest in peace to the fashion icon, the founder of Off-White Clothing, you know, fashion house, Virgil Agbo, you know, who passed away today.
I saw that. I don't know if you guys saw Sagan's post. Is that who he was referring to?
I don't know about that.
I know. Did this guy do something for Max B? Did he do a shirt for Max B?
Yeah, he probably did.
Okay, yeah. That's the post that Sagan had. It was a dude wearing like a shirt that had like Max B's jail address on it, like his mailing address, you know what I mean? And he had a post about it. I just saw it real quick. I was in the middle of something. I didn't really see who it was referring to, but rest in peace to that man, for real.
Yeah. Reading about him, y'all, he really, really, really was a giant in that industry, you know, in terms of with the brand Off-White, you know, especially his foray, you know, going into cross-branding with others, of course, most notably with Jordan Brand. But you got everybody from Justin Bieber to Kanye, you know, Pharrell, you know, who have sent their love and melancholy, you know, happy trails for him, man. I mean, that guy, he was huge. He was huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a lot of losses recently, man.
Yeah, we have.
I didn't see the OG Red Rum pass away. I just saw that today, man. And, like, I saw Eric posted about that weeks ago. There's so much stuff on the internet, man. Like, sometimes you just miss stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just talked to somebody saying that they didn't know that Fino from the Gambino family from No Limit, Fino passed away. And Calio Papa from New Orleans, he passed away.
Man.
That's all within, like, the last month. All these losses just happened in the last month, man.
November.
I don't know what it is about November.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses had that song November Rain, and you know, that'd be how it is. You know, one thing about it, King and Pat, you know, this is why, and I've said this, we've all said this on this show numerous times. We've been doing this 7 years. And collectively with all of us on Off the Cuff Radio, and all of our supporters near and far, of course, Pat yourself as well, who have always been there for us since day one. This is collectively why we do what we do, because, you know, you just never know sometimes what's going on in the world in terms of we're not promised tomorrow. We have a limited time on this earth to do what we're going to do to try to make the best of our existence and to be a blessing to others. And
that's why it's important that we show the respect that we show to everybody, man, because, like, when I was doing the interviews real heavy, man, like, the show I was on had a real close relationship with Fresh Kid Ice from 2 Live Crew and Bushwick Bill, DJ Ready Red, and there was someone else I was just thinking of. Oh, Trey Nitty, Soulja Slim's cousin from Cutthroat Committee. And all those guys passed away, like, right after one another. So, you know what I mean? Like Lord Infamous and Poops of the 36 Mafia. Like,
yeah.
It's like hard to even make a rest in peace post to certain artists because, like, it's impossible to name everybody, man. You know what I mean? And, like, a lot of times, like, someone will pass and I'll be like, man, like, that shit hurts. And then, like, you kind of look like one of them dudes that when someone passes, you act like you was a fan. But it's like, look, man, we all only got so much time, man. And there's a million rappers out there, man. Like, there's artists that I fuck with heavy. I just forget to make a post about them sometimes. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, not, you know, and I'm honest when somebody passes and I'm not, like, a big fan of them or nothing. Like, I'm honest about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the point is, like, show love to the people you fuck with, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, show love to those people. Know that you rock with them. You know what I mean? Let everybody know you rock with them.
Yeah, on top of that, that's what the beautiful thing about this verse is that's been happening, because it gives appreciation to a lot of the artists that we've been listening to, introducing them to a new audience.
I just, if you're really into verses, man, just stay away from, like right now we got 3-6 verse bone, and just stay away from like 3-6 Mafia fan groups and Bone Thugs fan groups, because they act like these dudes are meeting up to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, look,
yeah,
man, like it's just, it's all in good fun, man. It's good vibe. People are like, oh, 3-6 is trash, Bone Thugs is trash. Like, no, like that's, you're missing the whole point of it, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I would love to hear bootleg on. Like, I would love to see the Dayton family go up against one of these groups, like one of these dudes. Like, and at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I think Dayton family won this. But, dude, that's not saying the other people are trash. Like, it's something fun for tonight. Like, do we really look at the Diplomats as losers? Because the Locks had a better night than them. Like, you know what I mean? The Diplomats are dope. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was fucking dope, man. Both groups are awesome, man. 3-6 and Bone. Both groups are fucking great. Like,
again,
it ain't no war. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes is like in their 50s and shit, man. They ain't got time for that shit. Like, this is all in fun, man.
And not to mention, this is what I like to see as well. I'm down with the verses giving people an appreciation for their catalog. I would like to also see these guys get projects get supported as well.
Yeah.
Instead of just treating like nostalgia act.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Like, that's the thing, man. Like, you know how bad I would love to see Soulja Slim in a fucking versus right now? Or Pimp C in a versus right now? Like, appreciate these dudes, man. Like, a lot of dudes we walk with heavy aren't here no more, man. Like, it ain't about no beef and shit like that. Like, no matter who does better in these verses, man, it doesn't make anybody weaker the next day, man. Everybody in that shit got classic records, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And from that perspective, you know, we look at music because it's all, you know, all the artists, you know, living and gone have contributed so much. And when we look at this culture that is staying close to 50 years, when you, or even more, when you look at where it really started, you know, in terms of even going back to the 40s and 50s, you know, it's so rich, it's so diverse, it's so extensive. You know, I mean, when you look at so many people, you know, you know, even going into the 80s, you know, when it really began, the culture really began to get loose, you know, get seen. You know, we lost Scott LaRock, I believe. And what was it, King Pat, 87, 88, when Scott LaRock was killed?
Yeah.
You know, so,
it was 88? No,
it was later. It was later, because BDP was already moving heavy by the time, you know, he died. You know, but when you look at over the years, I mean, you know, we look at you know, we look at Seagram, you know, we look at Stretch, you know, we look at Mac Dre. I'm not saying Biggie and Tupac are right in it, because, of course, we know those are two of the biggest, but there's so many others. Because one thing about it is, we look at the big names in the game, y'all,
But we don't want a situation to come where we forget about everybody else, because everyone else, certain people have more celebrity than others. Because if you made good music, if you did something great contributing to the culture, if you had a presence, if you did something worthwhile, you know, you deserve your recognition. You deserve your respect and your death, and you need that recognition while you are alive, because that is how legacies are established, cultivated, preserved, and carried on. This is how tradition is maintained. This is how, you know, we keep the culture upheld. But, you know, one thing about that's why I think collectively, matter of fact, I don't even think, I know we're all collectively blessed to do what we do. So, you know, we definitely want to give our shout out to all those soldiers who have passed on. And we don't want to keep it melancholy in terms of thinking about those losses. But let's go ahead and jump into something that I wanted to ask you both about. Okay, Benny the Butcher has signed to Def Jam. The Butcher has now come to Def Jam. He's on a major. All of us on this show, we always, which is our specialty, is about the independents, because we always use this show, the platform, to give shine to those on the independent movement, whether they are big or starting out. Pat, King, what do y'all think about it with Benny going to a major in terms of, you know, and shout out Big City Boy BSF, you know, his label head, you know, the whole Griselda Collective, of which they are all a family together. What do y'all think about it with Benny moving on to the majors?
Real quick, Scott LaRock died August 27th, 1987. Just
okay, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pat. Thank y'all.
With Benny, with Def Jam, but, like, I know Freddie Gibbs got a major deal, too, and it's cool because, like, they grinded their way to that point, and, like, I kind of like it in that, like, I don't like when a guy is just, like, you know, has a hot mixtape, signs to a label. You know, like, look, like Saigon, Papoose, like, guys like that, like, they never popped because they weren't handled correctly. See, Benny the Butcher made his name and then attached himself. So if the deal don't work out, he's fine. Like, you know, he can just go back to his regular grind, which that's the cool part about it. Now, with Snoop signing people, a lot of people have been put in that position. Like, if you remember, like, Scarface was Def Jam South for a while, and Luda, I don't know if Luda was or not, but DJ Khaled was, and of course Jay was a Def Jam, and Jay had Def Jam buzzing whenever he first started, and then as time went on, like, I just don't think that was what Jay wanted to do. But, like, with Benny, I'm glad that he got the shot, because if you remember, Westside Gunn and Conway, they signed to Shady, and it just didn't seem like it worked out, and Benny was left out of that deal. So, of course, he still got the deal with Roc Nation, but I'm very intrigued to see where it goes. Like, it's a good thing because, like I said, I think there's nothing but good can come out of it, because if he fails, he already proved, like, if, you know, like, say they handle it poorly, and it, you know, he can go back to what he was doing. Like, he made out just fine without Def Jam. However, it can, if it goes well, Def Jam could be a new, you know, come back to that hip-hop shit, you know what I mean? They can come back, like, Benny's a perfect guy to get Def, because let's face it, guys, Justin Bieber's on fucking Def Jam, okay? In case you didn't know that, Justin Bieber was signed to Def Jam. So, Benny is the perfect guy to get that hip-hop back into Def Jam and be a respected rap label. When's the last time a Def Jam artist was, you know, like, oh, Def Jam got them new, you know, like, you know, they got them real MCs. Like, it's been a while, you know what I mean? And even when Jay had it, it was pretty much just New York dudes, like, the New York veterans, like, you know, Ghostface, DMX, Nas, like, it was all just people we already knew. With Benny, he's a fresh face. He's already proven. This could be the start of something very, very good and very cool for hip-hop fans. Because, like, it might bring some more legends back around, and it could be beneficial to other guys that are in Benny's lane, you know what I mean? Guys that are just out there grinding and shit. So I'm very interested. I think a lot of people will co-sign to say that Benny's, I know he's not exactly young, but as far as hip-hop-wise, he's young. And I think a lot of people would agree that he's the perfect guy for this project. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for it. I really am. Like, I think that only good can come out of it. Because if it don't work out, Def Jam will be fine. Benny will be fine. He has plenty of places he can go. And even his independent grind is fine. You know what I mean? So I think it can be very, it's very promising. I like it.
Yeah. And to echo your sentiments, Pat, one thing about it in the independent hustle, you know, because all the shows over the years that we've done, of course, with your extensive journalism experience that you did on the other show you were on, Pat, we all learned from reading. You know, King, of course, with his background in journalism, me as a lifelong hip-hop nerd, we've all seen over the years in terms of when people sign. Because when you look at it from a situation of how, like, take Currency, for instance, shout out Hot Spit of representing New Orleans. You know, he went through two major deals with Cash Money and No Limit, you know, before he decided to just go off on his own. And Spitta could always rhyme. You know, that was never a question, but it just never really, because we never really know what goes on behind closed doors with a lot of these individuals as they have the inner workings behind the industry in terms of how these deals are, where their placements, you know, schedules for their albums. A lot of times artists feel like, depending on who they are, that they are able to move on their own volition in terms of having their own best interest at heart. So they know what's good for them. And Currency is in a situation, and he's been this way for roughly the past 10 years, 10, 12 years, that he has been independent, you know, putting out.
He gave it a good shot and made a name everywhere he was at. And remember when he signed with Dame Dash, like, it was a big deal that he signed with him. But I don't think anybody, I mean, there's very few guys that can do what Currency did. And, or, like, you know, like, you know, I fuck with Saigon Heavy. Saigon wasn't able to bounce back like Currency did. Like, the label fucked him over too much, held his album for years. And
right.
Whenever he was finally freed from that label, he couldn't really bounce back to where he was. But you see, like, Currency was able to do it, and I think it's amazing. The one good thing about, I don't know if you guys saw Snoop's interview with Wallo and Billy with $1 million for the Game. Snoop was saying, you know, he wrote, you know, 70% of the Chronic, 50% of the Dog Pound album, Deep Cover, Doggy Style, like, you know, he wrote all this shit, never even knew what a publishing check was, never even knew what that meant. And, like, it's cool that, like, I hope that he's, now that he's at Def Jam, I hope he's giving these guys cool deals to where, you know, because now everybody's aware of these things. So it's cool, like, all these classic albums that we love, his shit, some of those artists hate those albums because it's painful to them. Like, I have this fucking album and I'm broke as fuck. And some dude that I know, I never even met, is a millionaire off that shit. You know, like, so I hope that Snoop passes on, and I think he will. I honestly do. I think that Snoop seems like an all right guy. I think that he's going to make sure that these guys get fair deals. Not saying, you know, the business is the business. Like, not everybody's going to have 100% rights to all their publishers. That's not how the business works. Like, in a perfect world, yes, that's how it should work. But, you know, I hope that he's educating these guys. And you hear Jay-Z preach about this shit, too. So, like, they got a Roc Nation deal. Benny got a Roc Nation deal and shit, too. So I hope that, like, the guys like Jay and Snoop and all them, like, I hope when they help these younger guys out, they're setting them up for the future. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, man, this is their job. Like, that's their retirement. You know what I mean? Like, that's their 401k. You know what I mean? And, like, I hope that these guys can eat 20, 30, 40 years down the road, because Benny's going places. Like, that dude's going places. He's going to have, you know, songs and soundtracks and features on albums that do very well. And, yeah, I think he's, if the song's not already out, it's going to be out. He has a song with Drake. And, yeah, that dude's going places. So I hope that, you know, when he got people like Jay-Z and Snoop Dogg behind him, you know what I mean? Like, that they set him up for the future. And
yeah,
I think they will. You know what I mean? I really do.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad you brought that up, man, because a lot of people were actually flabbergasted when Ghostface said that he hated the Iron Man album. And people were like, Iron Man, that was one of the flyest shit ever made. But he broke down a lot of the situations that he was dealing with at the time. Like, that was the one of the time he found out he was diabetic. And mm-hmm. he also got to look at it that he only had, like, a two-month deadline. And plus, with that, if you listen to that album, it was real fly. It was real dope. But you ain't really have any solo ghost songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was more like a Wu-Tang family album, where it was Supreme Clientele. He was able to get his shit off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
and when you think about it, yeah. And, I mean, when you think about it, y'all, when we take it back to those days of the Wu, going back to 1993, you know, when the 36 Chambers dropped, that record, you know, we're all older in the game. And, you know, as we get older, because already in 2 years, think about it, y'all, next year the Wu album is going to be 28 years old. And, you know, actually it's going to know it's going to be 29 years. It's going to be 29 years old next year. It's 28 years old now. So in 2 years, it's going to be 30 years old. And for what that Wu-Tang album did, it changed the whole landscape. The way the Chronic changed the way hip-hop sounded in terms of the sonics, because that's the first time we really heard Dre do something on his own, and enlisting his own crew. Shout out to Daz, because Daz did a lot of stuff too. We got to give Daz his props, because he really helped a lot of that as well on the beats. But when you look at Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang album showed a new level of posse emceeing that we had never seen before. 9 dudes in a crew, and all of them can rhyme. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
All of them had, like, their own character and shit. Like, it was just something, like, crazy unique about them, dude. Like,
yes.
You know, like, they all sound totally, like, when you listen to solo albums, like, Method Man's style and shit is nothing like GZA, nothing like RZA, nothing like Ghost. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they all have their own unique shit, and to be able to blend 9 dudes that are all different into one group is fucking amazing.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, King, you know, I think Iron Man, you know, because when you look at it, this is going 3 years into the Wu Empire. So in 3 years, what albums did we get, not counting the Wu-Tang album? We got Method Man. He was the first to lead off because he was a sex symbol. Bitches still love meth today. Women still love them today. You know, then you had Old Dirty drop his, and then, you know, Ghostface, you know, then
Ray
Ghostface,
too.
Yeah, Ray came after Old Dirty. So then that was Ghostface and Ray, you know, with the Cuban Links. That was in 95, because Old Dirty came out in spring of 95, and then, you know, later on that August 1st, 1995, you know, that's when Cuban Links dropped. And then later in a fall. Liquid Swords drops. You know, and then 96. Yeah. You know, 96, you know, Iron Man drops. And, you know, that, like you said, King, you know, when he was talking about, you know, what it was, when you listen to the Iron Man album, when you listen to songs like Daytona 500, I'm still amazed because we would all, remember when we were kids, we would always, you know, see the cartoons, and even we would have passing jokes. You would see stuff here and there. But it's like they actually flipped a speed racer cartoon into a video. I'm wondering how much the clearance was to get that speed racer cartoon by itself. And you're rhyming over it, and the way that they would set up those mouth movements in the cartoon, you sync it with the actual the sound from it, and it really sounds like they're spitting the lyrics. I mean, it was ingenious.
Man, if you think about just how insane the 90s were, like, you got, like, on the East, you have Mobb Deep and the Wu-Tang and Nas and Biggie and, Jay-Z. The Lost. Like, and they're like, we could go on forever, you know, CNN even, like, we can go on forever talking about that. And then, but we could go over to the Midwest, and you had the Dayton family and Esham and, you know, fucking
shout out to
Do
Troy,
or Die.
Man. Shout out to Michigan.
You know, Do or Die and Psychodrama and Crucial Conflict and Triple Darkness. And then you go down south and you had the Ghetto Boys and Scarface and No Limit and Cash Money and 3-6 Mafia and, like the whole Texas movement with UGK and you know, Screwed Up Click. And then you go out west, you're the Dog Pound and Ice Cube and, like, West Side Connection. Like, bro, that was just crazy. Like, if you try to make, like, your favorite shit from the 90s, you have to break it up into regions because there was just – and, dude, and notice, I didn't even mention Bone Thugs and Harmony. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just named all the groups.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Like, bro, I'm forgetting 100 people. Like, I didn't mention AZ. Like, just, it was such a crazy, dope fucking time to where, like, I can throw on any of that stuff. And, like, the underground was fucking great back then. Like, you know, it was just great, man. It was such an awesome time. The Goody Mob, like, so much great shit back then. Outcast, like. It's like an incredible movie, I think. And it's still, we still got great music out there, but
yeah.
I don't know. So it's, I don't know, man. So sometimes it just doesn't feel special anymore.
But I'll tell you something, King and Pat, but when you look at that era, because you got to remember, between the eras of really 1984, of course, with, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five with The Message, that came out in 84. So you have to remember, you know, Pat, all those people that you mentioned were coming in 1995, 94, 95, and 96. So you figure from the era of hip-hop that we found our, you know, ears in, it was still young back then. It was still, like, you figure it was still 12 years old at the time, and it still hadn't fully blossomed yet. We were still, the underground was still, like, when you look at Master P with No Limit, he started breaking through in 1995, even though he had been around since 1990. But he started getting his buzz. And you got to think about all the video shows like Rap City, Video Music Box, Your Own TV Raps, where the corporate entities were not in it. So we were getting, and of course, the Source Magazine, you know, Right On, you know, Word Up Magazine, you know, Black Beat, you know, all of these publications and print, you know, all these media outlets on cable. It was enabling all of these artists to get out there. We were finding out about people because it was based on how dope the music was. That's why, and it's not trying to shit on the younger generation today, that's why I tell a lot of young kids today, you had to live through our era to really appreciate how much these artists had to work to get to where they are to become the legends that they are recognized as today. Because this was
one thing I want to add to that is we had to do so much as fans as well. Like,
yes,
We had to wait for the magazine to come out to find out certain things. And, like, you know, like, when I was a kid, I had to, like, find out when a CD was coming out, ask my mom for the money, or go cut grass for the money, then get a ride to the store. And, the whole experience of it, like, what the actual disc looked like, the booklet looked like. Like, there was such, like, an attachment to it, like, and then whenever you go to the record store and you see an album that you didn't even know was coming out that was out, you're like, whoa, that shit's out crazy. Like, you know, because it was easy to miss things back then, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if you didn't buy the Double XL, the Source, the Murder Dog? Like, what if you missed it that month or something? You know what I mean? Like, it was easy to miss.
Right.
If you missed the episode of Yo MTV Raps or Rap City or something, like, you might have missed it. Something was coming out. And, like, there was such, like, when you bought a CD, like, that shit better be good, motherfucker. This cost me $19.99. You know what I mean? Like, release some bullshit. Like, you know, if someone drops a whack album now, it's like, all I did was press a button. It's all right. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, if someone drops a whack album, man, you just, cool, I can make fun of it online a little bit and shit, blah, blah, blah. Man, back in the day, you did that shit, you might never listen to that motherfucker again just because you were let down because you really worked to, there was effort involved in getting that music. You know what I'm saying? Like, so everything had to be dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were mad as hell or something.
And, yo, we're forgetting two of the most essential elements, y'all, because there were two parts to this that we didn't mention. Number one, when depending on the artist, there was a heavy promotional rollout for it. Like, it was actually like you really saw it. And then the mixtapes were the element of really pushing it for a lot of people.
How I always talk about how, like, Saigon's like one of my favorites, if not my favorite rapper. That's because them mixtapes that he had, like, that's classic music to me. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, the mixtapes meant a lot. And, you know, I'm sure you guys, I know Eric knows him. The dude online, he's from out my way in Pittsburgh, Walter Lowry.
Me and him have talked about it.
Me and him have talked about it. Like, 50 Cent to us was, like, very far from a new rapper whenever he signed with Eminem. Like, we were very, very familiar with 50 Cent. Like, we remember How to Rob, but then, like, when he got shot and everything and got dropped from his label, Power of the Dollar got pulled from Columbia and everything, the G-Unit would come out, G-Unit would hit Pittsburgh. And, like, I remember, like, I bought a G-Unit mixtape off of Bang 'em Smurf. And, like, they would set up shop and sell shit. They would, in East Liberty in Pittsburgh, like, they would go to stores, and then, like, on the north side, there was a store called Stedeford and Sons. And they would, like, post up there and sell their mixtapes and shit. And, like, Power of the Dollar is one of my favorite albums ever. And it's because of that. Like, I remember that time period. Like, that shit was, like, I was, like, doing, like, wild shit. I was in the street. I was selling shit and, like, that. When I think of that album, I think of, like, I even, like, remember the winter jacket I had at the time. But I remember that shit being in my headphones, like, while I was trying to sell shit. And, like, it was cold as fuck out. Like, that's what that album means to me. Like, so when he signed with Eminem and shit, like, that was, like, you know, a lot of people just discovered him. That's the first time they heard of him. Man, he was far from a new rapper to me. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that dude well. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, like, even with Young Buck being in there, that was goofy as hell to me because I knew Young Buck from being with Juvenile and shit. And he had a song with Soulja Slim. You know what I mean? Like, so it was just, like, weird to see Young Buck with them. And, like, I kept telling people, like, yo, Young Buck used to be in Cash Money. Nobody would listen to me. And then on Stunt 101, he's like, I know you see me with Cash Money from back in the day. You know what I mean? And, like, I kind of got mad at Young Buck when he kind of dissed the Hot Boys on Let Me In. He's like, I'm a cool young thug, not a hot boy. It's like, whoa, bro, chill, bro. You can't be dissing the Hot Boys. Bro. But yeah, man, like, you know, that was because of that mixtape movement, you know?
But you know, Pat, it's interesting you say that, Pat, because I actually got an old magazine. I think it was one of my old Double XLs, or even my Complex magazine. I got to look through them. I got so many. But he was talking about that situation because I didn't know. This was years ago, so he was already on about them. But he talked about how he was down with Birdman and them, and he was talking about how he felt like Birdman had jerked him for a lot of years because, you know, he was just hanging around, but he wasn't doing anything. Like, he said he would just get up, you know, they just roll around with, you know, Birdman all day, and, you know, he'd just be riding with them. But he, mind you, he was signed at the time, but he wasn't getting his music put out. And he was like, but then I realized, he's like, after a couple of years, I realized I was just wasting my time, and that's when he left.
Him and Doobie left together.
Yeah, 2001, because I remember that Double XL where Juvenile was on the cover, and he talked about that whole situation because we had heard the rumors, and mind you, this is 20 years ago, so this is a situation where the internet is still, in terms of hip-hop journalism, is still kind of a baby. It's still nascent. We haven't really seen it get extensive like it is now. You know, some of our favorite people, you know, like Armando de Arena of, you know, underground hip-hop, that wasn't born yet. You know, all these other outlets, you know, all hip-hop wasn't around yet. This is 50 wasn't around yet. So we didn't know in the extensive story. XXL.com was up during that time, and even then, to sell the magazines again, they only gave you part of the story, but you had to buy the book to actually get the whole story, and that's when Juvenile broke down in that issue about, you know, the whole thing about, this is when we found out how janky, you know, Birdman's business practices was.
Yeah.
You know.
Now he's back with him.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, they go back.
Like, what's crazy is we were just talking about how Buck left with Juvie and went to UTP. Well,
right, Uptown Project Records, yeah.
Here's how full circle all this shit goes, though, bro. So he goes to G-Unit, and then 50 gives him, if you remember, like, he had Cashville Records, but originally it was called G-Unit South, and he had All-Star of the Cashville Prince, Hi-C, D-Tay, Lil Murda, but then he had the Outlaws and Sebo. But then he was signing BG. BG was going to be on G-Unit South. But then out of fucking nowhere, he's just with T.I. He, like, if you go and look up the Double XL issue, it was called Band of Brothers. And it has T.I. with Pimp Squad. It has Pimp Squad Click on it. And look at that cover. It's Big Country, right. Young Dro, and Mac Boney, and BG. BG was going to sign with T.I., and it, like, he was always on T.I.'s albums and shit, too. But that's just weird how, like, Young Buck was with Cash Money. He left with Juvie, and then whenever he signed, you know, he got his own label, he was bringing BG with him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird how it all went in a circle like that. Like, you know, he was, like,
but
with the Hot Boys.
BG started his own label. You know, he started his own label.
Yeah, he got Chopper City. Yeah, he got with Gar and Snipe and VL Mike. Yeah. Because, like, that's when him and Slim linked up together and shit. Like, that's when that whole Chopper City Cutthroat Committee movement started. But then when Slim died, that's when, like, the Chopper City boys really came, you know, and started hustling a lot. Like, DL Mike was with them. But, yeah, man, it's crazy. And then, like, to see Juvie go back was like, damn, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but hey, man, that's his business, whatever.
But, you know, when you look at it, y'all, when we think about it, and this is just a beautiful dialogue we're having about it, when we look at that time, though, because we look at the era as the bling era, you know, that, you know, between 1998 and 2005, that was, you could say, that age of excess because, you know, of course, shout out to my homie, big, you know, Jeezy, you know, CTE, Corporate Thugs, Boo Rossini, Snoop 11, you know, the whole crew, you know, I mean, you saw Jeezy in the movement,
heavy during that time in 2004, 2005. I mean, you saw, you know, Gucci, you saw Gucci Mane doing his thing at that time. You know, T.I. really started to really move. I mean, if until anybody can check us about it, T.I., yeah, you know, T.I. gave trap music its name because nobody, he wasn't the originator of the genre, as you astutely, King, told me one time, the Ghetto Mafia. You know, they were the ones who really started. Yeah, they could be credited with really starting.
Shout out to Nino, Ghetto Mafia.
Yeah, they could be the ones who could be credited for starting trap music in terms of the sound, but T.I. gave it its name. So
yeah,
T.I. was really moving heavy.
He's like, everybody argues about all that shit. Hey, look, like, it ain't even really about who founded what. Dude, T.I.
Right.
made that shit a household name. I don't even care if he didn't give it the name. He, everybody knows what trap music is because of T.I. Like, it became popular with T.I. You know what I mean? Just like Little John popularized the term crunk. You could say that 3-6 sort of got that style and shit, but like Little John made that term a household term. You know what I mean? So like, they deserve that fucking credit, man. You know what I mean? Like, T.I. deserves
that
name. Like, he deserves that recognition. You know what I mean? How many of us were playing trap music before T.I.? Like,
exactly. Yeah. And it's great you mentioned Lil Jon, Pat, because I mean, Lil Jon was doing, everybody know he didn't really blow until 2000 when he did Bia Bia, which had an unknown guy, you know, by the name of Ludacris on it, before, like a year before Ludacris blew. So you got to think, but Lil Jon was already doing shit back in 1996. I've heard the stories that he was doing house parties back in 1996 as a DJ. He had already had it lit down there then. So it took him a few years to go national.
But,
yeah.
Dude, what you just said about Ludacris being on Bia Bia, that's how that all happened. Because Ludacris knew Lil Jon from doing that stuff, and Ludacris had that independent CD, that Incognito.
Right,
and
right.
Lil Jon helped him, like, he played the records and all that. That's how they hooked up, because they were all at the radio stations and shit all the time back then. And, like, Greg Street used to help them out a lot.
Yeah,
like, that's how that all came about, you know? And, like, it's so crazy to think that Scarface is the one that got Ludacris signed.
Yeah, he was the first act signed on
Death. Another thing, like, people forget about that. Like, the Scarface got him his deal with Destiny. You know what I mean? Like, that's wild as hell if you think about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you don't really associate Scarface and Ludacris. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Talking about what we was talking about earlier with Snoop accepting an executive role, I think it's a thing for the culture, because you need people to work within these labels that can understand the talent and know what the streets want to hear, what the real hip-hop head wants to hear. And what other better guy than Snoop? I mean, we all clown him from time to time based off some of the stuff he says and does and this, that, and third. But when it comes to having an ear for the talent, he's been on records with every damn body. He's the perfect guy.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he stops taking those pictures of him laying in the grass with Dr. Dre, well, I'm. but no, you're right though. Like, and that's what I was saying about, like, with, like, him and Jay-Z, like, have, you know, they fuck with Benny and a lot of these guys and shit. Like, I'm glad that, because they both know how shady the business is. So I hope that they're looking out for these guys, and I think they are. Like, I really do. Like, I really think that. Like, you know, but Snoop was on $1 Million Worth of Game, like, talking about, like, how bad he got fucked over. Like, you talk about all those classic shit, like, the classic shit he was a part of. Like, he doesn't even make nothing off of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's a household name. Like, you know, he's a crazy celebrity, crazy big celebrity. He's beyond rap. You know what I mean? And we know him from all those classics and shit, but he don't make no money off of that. Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't even know what a fucking publishing check was. Like, think about how wild that is. You know what I mean?
But, Pat, you got to remember, Pat King, remember that issue? Yeah, but remember that issue he did in 1998 with the Source magazine? And he talked about how Def Row wasn't paying him. And, you know, I've heard stories.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody at Death Row. Like, that's what's crazy. Like, we all look at, you know, everybody says, like, oh, Puffy fucks people over. Birdman fucks people over. Like, bro, like, why don't we ever talk about Shug doing that shit? Every single person at Death Row, everybody, says that Shug fucked them over.
They were scared, man.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was really the worst of them all, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, you really think Tupac would have gotten that shit and all that bullshit without him? You know what I mean? Like, the East Coast, West Coast shit wouldn't have been the same without Shug, man. He was the fire. Like, he was the fuel to that fire, man. Like, yeah, there was, you know, little shit that happened before that and all that. But you really think it would have got that crazy without Shug? Like, controversy sells, and that's all that dude is. We saw after music how toxic that guy was, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, run a record label, fuck, dude. I don't know if you'd survive a car ride to the gas station with Shug. Like, he can't keep that together. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars?
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like, that dude is not the fuck out. Like, are any of us surprised that Shug's probably going to die in prison? Or is any of us shocked at that?
Well, when you look at
Death Row looked like the 85 Bears, man. And that shit just crumbled a year later.
That was a great comparison, King.
Yeah, that is a great comparison, actually. That's a very good comparison.
That analogy. Because when you look at it, y'all, because we all know the history.
Shug Knight's Mike Ditka.
You know, but when you look at the business aspect of it, because when you read the source once again about how we got the news, I still have all the Source magazine issues starting from 1994 when I started reading it, and of course 1996, I believe it was in July, Dre had his issue where they, you know, interviewed Dre about it, and Dre talked about. All the stuff that was going on there at the time in terms of just random people being in the studio and the environment just became difficult. Now, Dre was fortunate. And for our listeners out there, Straight Outta Compton, while it was a great movie, it was not completely accurate. Dre and Shug did not have this stare down, you know, face-off. That did not happen. That was played out. We know people who were there who worked at Death Row. Yeah, so that was not what happened. You know, that did not happen. Dre and Shug did not have a face-to-face. That was a situation that the lawyers took care of that situation. But Dre was a part owner of the label. So that was easy for Dre to leave because Dre had 50% stake. So all he did was just give up his 50% stake. He didn't even have any money from it. All the money he got was what he made in terms of what he produced during that time. He did not have any money from that 50% of the label stake when he left. He gave all that up. He walked away from it. Shug said a lot of things about him in the media because Shug's magazine with the Source will come out 2-3 months later, and Shug would tell his story about it and, you know, about what was going on at the time. And he said, he's like, I own all of Death Row now. You got to think about it, King, you know, and Pat. When you're looking at that era of where they were, Death Row had the game in a chokehold for about 4 years. But when that thing came to a screeching halt, I'm going to just say it. After Dre left, shit won't the same. You know, and they just couldn't. And then you got to remember, too, in 96, that's also – that was also when Pac got killed, but that was also when Suge went back to prison.
Jay Leaving was
because
the start of it. Pac dying and Suge going to jail at the end. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Jay Leaving is what hurt. Like, just like when Sue Black NWA, that was too big of a blow for NWA. You know what I mean? And that's a weird thing, too, if you think about it. Like, back then, like I, you know, there wasn't social media and everything, so we only ever really heard one side of the story. Like,
right.
Like, if you think about it, like, when you think of Jerry Heller, everybody has this negative image of Jerry Heller. But think about this: he was never sued by anybody. He never robbed anybody. He never didn't pay anybody. The whole thing was just Ice Cube just didn't like the deal. He thought they should get more money. Why wouldn't Jerry Heller try to profit as much money as he could? Like, why wouldn't he do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't his fucking friends. Like, he was in a fucking position where he could put this rap group on and make millions of dollars. Why wouldn't he try to get away with making as much money as possible? That's what you do in business. Like, you try to make money. Ice Cube asked for too much. It didn't make sense to Jerry Heller, and it didn't make sense for Ice Cube to not get paid that much. So they went their separate ways. That's what business is.
But
was too big to not there'd be drama. You know, like,
Ice Cube just couldn't quietly. But it was also that question too about who really was running Ruthless, because some people said it was Jerry. And some people said that was all Easy, and some people said Easy was just the figurehead, and Jerry ran everything. We weren't there. We don't know what was really going on with the business, because, you know,
when we think of Ruthless, and we think of Jerry Heller, we think of this, that, that, but we never really got all sides of the story until later, like Jerry's last years, he started doing interviews and stuff, but Easy died in 94.
95,
yeah. Was it 95? Yeah, it was 95.
It was 95.
And, like, you know, so he died. Like, we never got, like, I would love to get the Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Jerry Heller, Easy interviews today. You know what I mean? Like, all the smoke's clear now. Like, you know, everybody moved on. Everybody's successful, you know, because Easy was still doing all right. He put Bone Thugs and Harmony on and shit. And, like, I don't think he cared about being a rapper. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't his thing. Like, he was a hustler. Like, I think he would have been cool with putting Bone Thugs on, dropping a verse here and there just to be able to stay, you know, in the public eye and shit. You know what I mean? But I think he would have been kind of like for lack of a better example, like Puff Daddy. You know what I mean? Like, not saying like they're similar in style or anything, but I think he would just like to, you know, put people on and shit and just stay in your mind, because he'll get on a record or be in a video and shit. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think, you know, being the coldest spitter wasn't Eazy-E's objective. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't give a fuck about that.
Well, when you look at it with Eazy, y'all, one thing about it with Eazy
say too, T man, I think Ruthless was on the verge of a second run, because On Alone was gonna carry that flag later on into the later 90s.
Yeah, you know, and from that perspective, too, like you said, King, there was also a rumor during the time that there was going to be an NWA reunion, that, you know, before Easy died, that, you know, everybody was kind of open to sitting down and, you know, seeing that they could hash it out.
It would have happened.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it have happened? Everybody else was cool. Like, you know, Snoop and Cube are cool nowadays. Fucking, you know, Dre's cool with everybody. Snoop, Ice Cube, everybody. Like, everybody's friends. You know what I mean? So, like, of course it would have happened. It would have had to. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't have made sense for it not to happen. There's more evidence that it would have happened not, you know what I mean?
Shout out to they probably have to go through the politics of going through Suge to get that deal that Gray was signed under him.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, Suge probably would, you know.
But you figure,
interesting that the people that own Mr. Potato Head are getting paid off of Machiavelli. Like, that's just so wild to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's a shame what became of all of that. Like,
well,
it's heartbreaking, but
but when you look at it, Pat, when we saw the documentary on BET, when they talked about that whole situation with Death Row, you know, when they interviewed Harry O about how, and once again on Off the Cuff Radio, we don't just say crazy stuff. You know, this is all backed by journalism and real facts. Because when you look at what happened with Harry O, when he talked about it, how Suge didn't pay him his money. And Suge was going around talking bad about Harry O for a lot of years, you know, saying he a snitch, you know, he ain't that, I did this on my own. And, you know, when Lydia Harris, Harry O's wife, sued Suge back in 1996, you know, this thing, this legal saga went through for 10 years until 2006, where she was awarded that $107 million. And, you know, by then, you know, Death Row was pretty much a shadow of itself. You know, it was a crumbling castle. You know, it wasn't what it was. And Suge didn't have Suge didn't have $107 million. You know, and it went through a couple of, and now Hasbro owns it. I mean, of all people, like you said, Mr. Potato Head, Pat.
Who owns Suge's life rights, though? Is it Ray J or Nick Cannon?
Who's that? What now?
Like the rights to the Suge Knight name, like to tell his story. Who has the rights to that? Is it Nick Cannon or Ray J?
I think it's Ray J.
I know that was fact. Yeah, that's crazy. Sometimes I still even think of how crazy this world is, dude. Like, this is
wow, shit. You had like a whole championship dynasty roster, and now that's gone.
Bro, like, you gotta, like, think of what could have, like, all right, like, check this out.
Okay.
Big L doesn't die. Signs to Rockefeller. That's where he was about to sign to.
Yeah, because
that was going
to happen.
And a lot of people don't know that, like, Rockefeller was going hard at Scarface.
Yeah.
They wanted to sign Scarface. But without Scarface. You got Beanie, Freeway, Big L, and Jay-Z. And then, say Biggie didn't die, you would have had Biggie, Styles, Sheik, and Jadakiss. Shine, and a lot of people forget about this, Cameron was going to be in Junior Mafia. Like, the things that could have been is just so fucking wild.
You're forgetting one thing, too. You're forgetting one thing, Pat. The Commission album.
Trust me, I'm not forgetting that. That's one of the biggest heartbreaks in my life. Like,
yeah, the premiere was gonna be Jay, Biggie, and Fox, and what was it, Charlie Baltimore? Was it Charlie or Foxy that was supposed to be on that commission?
It was Charlie.
Yeah, it was gonna be Jay, Biggie, and Charlie doing the commission with DJ Premier doing all the music for it. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fucking ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. Like, just to say, like, and I mean, you know, we said that about Bad Boys, or Death Row, Bad Boys roster was dope too. And there was, we saw like great teams of great labels, like just collectives of these people signed to certain labels. The Rap-A-Lot team was crazy. Cash Money team, the No Limit team, like there's so many things, and every one of them kind of got fucked up. Like with the Hot Boys, Turk went to prison. You know, like, a lot of things got fucked up. People dying and going to prison and shit. See Murder going to prison. You know, Slim went to jail.
Right.
Came home, left no limit, he died. So many things, like, what could have been. Like, you know, we don't have the Scarface Beanie Siegel album because of Beanie Siegel going to jail. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And another thing is Meek Mill. He was signed to T.I. And T.I. Caught that case. He caught that case, and then Meek Mill caught a case. Like, the case that he was just in jail for, the Poppin' the Willie shit, that case originated back in 2007 or something. Like, when I was locked up upstate, all the Philly dudes were telling me about this kid, Meek Mill. That was, he's the next Beanie Siegel, blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody kept talking about him and shit, but he was locked up. But he was signed to T.I. And then T.I. got locked up, and they just dropped Meek Mill. And then, like, it was just crazy. Like, before I got out, like, Tupac back, and I'm a boss, and all that shit was, like, getting heavy play on BET. I was like, holy shit, man. Like, in prison, I saw that dude go from, like, a street rapper to a fucking star. But, yeah, like, a lot of things that happened then, like, it's weird how they played out. You know what I mean? Like, who knows how Meek Mill would have turned out if he didn't sign with Rick Ross. If he would have been
crazy
with T.I.
A lot
who
of these
knows
guys,
how that would have
played out. It's that whole ordeal of having one foot in and one foot out, because getting paid off your rep, that's what your image, you're selling your image, and that's what's, you know, boosting your sales. That's what's making your income elevate. But when it comes that time to really step out and fully do it, a lot of those guys have trouble doing it because you built your reputation off that. Like, you built your, you selling your image off of that. So it's harder to let go.
Yeah, man. It's crazy, man. Like, it's just weird how certain things played out. Like, to think, like, Jeezy was a part of Boys in the Hood, like, with Bad Boy. Like, that's wild, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many just things we forgot, and then things that could have happened, things that should have happened, things that did happen, and then now, at the end of the day, man, like, we still got to see some pretty cool shit in our life, man. You know what I mean? Like, we got to see some cool shit. Like, hip-hop's a dope fucking thing, man. You know what
I
mean? Like, social media takes some of the fun out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I could have lived I could have lived without seeing Busy Bone holding a musket threatening the Migos. You know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it takes the fun out of it sometimes, man. Like, and, like, you know, sometimes, like, even just fans of people can be dicks. Like, you got a rapper that's been rapping for 30 years, drops an album that's not that great. Oh, he's trash. He's got that butt. Like, the dude's just trying to eat, man. Like, he knows this shit ain't going number one, man. He's just trying to make a couple bucks, bro. Like, stop trashing him on the internet. I saw somebody trashing Juvenile the one day, and it's like, look, bro, the dude's been rapping forever. Like, you know, his shit ain't the best, man. Like, so be. You know what I mean? Like, Juvie has a lot of classics and shit, and, like, you know, that's not what you fucking say, man. That dude came up with some good ideas and has some huge records. How many more you want him to fall for? You know what I mean? Like, you know, of course he has to keep rapping. What else are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, get a guy a fucking break.
But when you look at it with Juvie, man, what we were talking earlier about, you know, when he went back to Cash Money, you know, Juvie, you know, because after he did that interview in 2001, I mean, he was talking about how he was determined to really, like, do it on his own. But one thing about it is that because it's all ties in about being on a major or having that push, because you got to remember, this is back in 2001, y'all, so this is still when the independent hustle, you really, like, with the social media now, y'all, it's a lot easier to really do it. But back in the day, like, you really, really, really had to have your shit, you know, cemented to really capitalize off of that. And this is no shade to Juvie, because Juvie is still a legend. But I don't know if at the time Juvie really had those resources, because when you're talking about it in terms of running a label or just really moving it on your own, like, you really got to get out there and put your own money up to do it. And Juvie made a lot of money, but I don't know if he could have, if he had made that much where he could sustain what was necessary to move in that capacity.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong, man. Right.
You know what, guys? You know, while we building on the New Orleans, man, tell me if this isn't a beautiful thing, seeing Mac enjoying his freedom.
Yeah, man.
Date, man. So, yeah, I'm glad I stuck around to be. Yeah, it's showing him the love right now. I'm glad to do his show and shit. And, you know, he performed in Houston. He, like, put Mac as, like, the main act. You know what I mean? Like, so it says, like, you know, it's No Limit Reunion Tour, but it says starring Mac. And then on, like, the right of the promo, it, like, lists Mystical and Fiend, Mia X, MIX. And that's fucking dope to see, man. Like, to be honest, man, like, sometimes, like, you lose hope. Like, I've been locked up, man. Like, I followed Mac forever, man. Like, I wasn't sure if I'd ever see him get out. You know what I mean? And, like, to see him get out and see, like, all his old label mates show him love and see fucking Currency's been showing him mad fucking love, I'm hoping that he signs there. If he's going to sign anywhere, I want him to sign there. His team's over there, and BG's son is over there. They, like, Currency would be his fucking, oh, Mr. Marcello's over there, and Currency would be his boss. Like, I think he would be just fine over there. You know what I mean? So if he's going to sign somewhere, I hope it's there. And he's been wearing a lot of Jet Life clothing lately, so who knows, man, it might happen.
Yeah, you know, we look at what
happened. Seeing JD, guys that have been locked for like decades, you know, they're out back to their back reunion, back reuniting with their peers, doing shows, enjoying their freedom. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I talked to BG's mom recently, and, like, yeah, she's hoping when he gets out, he takes a little time just to enjoy life and shit. But I was like, man, he's been doing music for a long time, and from such a young age, he was a star. Like, people love BG, so, like, I think, you know, he's going to come home. People are going to want to show him a lot of love. And, you know, I think BG is going to be just fine when he gets home, too. I think people are going to look out for him, take him on tour and all that. But, you know, BG, you know, he's his own man, too. Like, he'll go out on his own and do that shit, too. You know what I mean? But, you know,
yeah. Shout out to Mama.
I'm just glad these dudes are back with their family and shit. You know, when BG goes home, like, you know, like every Thanksgiving, I always message Slim's mom because, like, my mom, you know, my brother passed away, and, like, before my mom passed away, like, I saw the pain that, like, my mom went through, you know what I mean? So, like, Slim was killed the day before Thanksgiving and shit. So, like, I know every year for Thanksgiving, it has to be hard for Slim's mom, because she has to look at a bunch of people saying rest in peace to a rapper that they liked that died. Like, that's not a rapper to her. You know what I mean?
Like, that was her son.
I try to never lose sight of that. So I always try to keep in touch with Slim's mom and BG's mom and, like, talk to them and let them know they're like, I know I care about these people a lot, but it doesn't equate to 1% of how it affects you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And, BG's mom just excited for him to come home, and, like, she wants him to come home and chill. But, yeah, I don't know. BG's a hard worker, man. Like, trying to keep up with all the shit he got out there is crazy. I mean, Zero says that he has an album with BG already made. He's waiting to drop it. Yes, they have an album, a joint album. He's waiting to drop it when he comes home. And he said that a couple years ago. So, like, BG's always a hard worker, man. I think him and Boosie will probably do more shit together. and hopefully we get C Murder home. We can see Mac and C Murder and BG do something together.
But, and I think that's something, yeah. But that's essential, though, y'all, because when we look at what collectively they've done, we look at them, they're all living legends. And, you know, when you look at the situations that happened that led to incarceration with them, those that really know what they had out there, it's undisputed in terms of what they did. You know, when you look at Slim, you know, Slim was really on his way. He was going to be, you figure, you know, Slim was killed in what, 2003? Was it 2003, 2004? You know, you figure Slim was like, he was going to be that next guy. Like, he was really about to go to the next level. And, you know, of course, with Slow Motion, you know, we found out, you know, when you hit us with the game, Pat, about it, how, you know, that was,
he had that record. And you can find the original out there without Juvenile on it. But he knew that was it had potential to be a very big record. But at the time he was on Koch, he was, you know, it was an independent label and shit. And he thought it would go to waste because he kind of has seen that before. Like he had I'll Pay For It, and he did the remix with Mystical, and it got a lot of play in the South. But it was kind of a waste for it being on, because he was early on the independent game. Like, 2006 is when people on Toss were blowing up, like when Jim Jones was balling and shit like that. But he was on it in 03. Nothing was going to go gold or platinum on an indie label in 2002, 2003. That just wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? So with that song, he knew if he threw Juvie on it, Juvie could put it out on Universal, and it would blow the fuck up. And I always respected Juvie for whenever, like, he made the video. The whole video was Rest in Peace, Soldier Slim. You know what I mean? Like, that whole video is about Soldier Slim. And that was, believe it or not, that was Juvenile's only number one record, dude. You would think, like, Back That Ass Up would be number one. Nope. That was his first number one record. And to this day, Juvenile will not take credit for that. He said, nah, that's Soldier Slim's record. That's not my record. So, like, he won't take credit for that. You know what I mean? And, like, I always respected him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. When you look at that time, Pat, what do you think in terms of what it was? Why do you think that era of, because you figure this is like 5 years after Cash Money, because they really came out in earnest in 98 in terms of getting that national recognition, even though they had already been around since 1990. What do you think about it was with that whole New Orleans sound, you know, because Master P, you know, of course, in the 90s, with, you know, because he started getting that notoriety. But what do you think it was about that New Orleans sound that really, really people gravitated to?
It was a little bit of energy, like, New Orleans is famous for gumbo, and that's what it was. You had, look at Mac, he was a lyrical dude. He was... had an East Coast flow. Soulja Slim had a real flow to him. You know, he had lyricism, like those guys. But then they had the bounce shit. And they also had, like, a West Coast influence to them. They were really gangster shit. You know what I mean? Like, that whole Soulja shit, that was some gangster shit. So it kind of appealed to everybody. And, like, in my opinion, they were kind of, as a whole, like, an entire city, they were the first ones that 99% of the artists were able to do that. If you throw on anybody's record from back then, like, just naturally, they have a club record, a gangster record, you know what I mean? And then they have records that are gangster records, but chicks are shaking their ass to them and all that. And it was just kind of fun. It was fun music. It was, you know, fast paced. you know what I mean? Like, it's just fun to listen to, and it's so culture heavy that you don't question where it's from. You know where it's from by the words they use, by the accents they have, by the style that they rap. It is just so unique that they just naturally had their own sound, you know, not to get anywhere else, but like, you know, you remember back then, like, you could tell where somebody was as soon as you listened to something. When New Orleans came and they had their own unique sound, and like I said, everybody could relate to it, and it, like, other elements were in it, but that was just, like, natural to them. There was just something different about the whole New Orleans thing. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, but, like, it was just special. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not to say nobody else has it. I'm just saying that shit really spoke to many different people in different walks of life. You know what I mean? And, like I said, it's just fun. Like, I'd be with chicks, like, you know, getting rides from chicks and shit, and play some Slim or some Murder or something, you know what I mean? And know what records to play, and they like it. But the lyrics to the song are shit that I fuck with, you know what I mean? Like, I could play a song about snorting heroin, and chicks are like, I like this song. Like, not even paying attention to what he's saying. It's just fun, fast-paced shit, you know what I'm saying? And, the instrumentals they used, and there's just something different about those guys, man. And that's why it wasn't just a fad. You know, when you see No Limit and Cash Money blow up, of course they hit a peak, and I mean, everybody did. Everybody got to a point where they were selling millions and millions and millions, and then, of course, they went down. That's going to happen everywhere, right? It's insane, like, everybody went to New Orleans and fucked with them. Everybody liked it. BG was on Prodigy's record. Fucking Juvenile was on Jay-Z's record. Jay-Z was on his record. Like, look at Lil Wayne. Like, you know, it was just a matter of time until somebody broke free and blew up like that. I was kind of surprised it was Wayne, but there was just something special about the New Orleans dudes, man. And so that's pretty much all I can really say about it. Another thing I think is special about it is, yeah, we can group all those guys together, like there's the No Limit and the Cash Money side to it, but if you really go into it and look at each artist, they all have their own little story and legacy to them, and like style. Like, you know, we can say, like, when we're naming people, like, oh, yeah, Juvenile and BG, well, just certainly we think of them as related artists and shit, but if you really look at them, take them one by one and look, like, they all have their own little upbringing, little way that they came up and different legacies and all that. They're like, all those guys, even Fiend and Marcello and, you know, Young Bleed, even, I know he's from Baton Rouge, but, like, it's just, there's something different about those guys, man. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of hard to explain. Look how different Manny Fresh is from everybody, producer-wise. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a lot different. Look how different KLC is than everybody. Like, there's just something unique about that place, man. You know what I mean? I mean, look at New Orleans just in general. Take hip-hop out of it. Just look at New Orleans, man. Like, it's a crazy city, and it's fun. It's dangerous and fun. And that's what their hip-hop is, man. It's fun. It's dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, when you die, they have a second line for you. It's like a big-ass parade and shit. Like, it's crazy. That's, you know what I mean? That's what New Orleans is, man. Like, when, you know, you can get murdered there and they'll throw a fucking parade for you to honor you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's dangerous, but it's fun. Like, that's what their hip-hop is, man. It's dangerous, it's fun, it's unique. There's no other city like New Orleans, man. You know what I mean? There is. Everybody should go to New Orleans.
What's crazy about artists back in that time period was they were so dope with hidden references. It's like I made a post months ago about the UGK joint. As opposed to, we all thought they was talking about champagne. We didn't know they was talking about dust. Yeah. I ain't know that for 30 years later. I said, huh? I was hurt.
You know, Texas got some of that too, man. Like, yeah, like Houston, you know, I'll say that about everything I just said about New Orleans. Of course, they're different. But Houston has that too, that they're a little different. They're just, you know, there's something unique about all those guys. Like, the South is such an interesting thing, right? Because You know the South when you hear it and you see it and all that, but everywhere is so fucking different. As opposed to, like, you're on the East Coast, like, yeah, Philly is a lot different than New York and shit, but, you know, it's like an extension of New York. Like, Philly would fit in as another borough in New York, you know what I mean? Like, if we picked up Philadelphia and dropped it in New York City and it was a sixth borough, It would
be much different. Right.
Like, Memphis is totally different than New Orleans. And it's totally different than Texas and Atlanta. Like, everywhere is just so unique and different. And they all got their own shit. And, like, the thing that I like the most is they always work with each other down there. And, you know, they didn't need anybody else. Because, I mean, not to call out Ice Cube, man, but that, like, that song, All the Critics in New York, that shit fucking always bothered me. Like, yeah, like, quit fucking bitching. Start your own shit. Like, where's your Hot 97? Where's your fucking Source magazine? Like, who gives a fuck if they're hating on your shit? Like, do your own shit. And look what the South did, man. The South had Ozone Magazine, the Ozone Awards. They had Greg Street down there doing shit. Everybody had radio stations. Everybody did house parties. They did, you know, shows in the fucking street. They did it their own fucking way. They didn't give a fuck if nobody showed them love. And once they built, like, when they got popular and, like, the South blew the fuck up, then they would start saying, like, hey, quit hating us, dude. Like, give us respect. We built all this by our fucking selves, man. We didn't need New York. We didn't need anybody. We did this on our own. And that's why I always fucked with the South, because they didn't care that, okay, this album, you know, the guys in New York, the dude that works at the Source writing that column doesn't understand Devin the Dude. Like, he doesn't understand what Devin the Dude's doing. So he gives him a bad review on his album. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't care. Like, oh, for real? I'm in that album? So, you know, I'm in that magazine? Fuck them. I don't give a fuck. Like, they didn't give a fuck. Little Kiki is a legend from Houston. He did it on his own. You never, ever heard Little Kiki say, like, man, the Source didn't pick up my album and rate it. I never heard that shit, man. That dude just grinded his ass off. Zero, Trey, all those guys, man. Like, they, you know, even in Memphis and shit, all those with Gangsta Pat, Player 5, 36 Mafia, D-Ball and MJG, like, those guys, like, they didn't give a fuck if New York or, you know, the XXL and the Source and all them, like, they didn't fuck, they didn't care. They did their own thing. They rocked where they were at. And eventually, you were so dope that we're gonna fucking blow up, and they fucking did. It paid off. You know what I mean?
They should have had people should have the mentality like how a lot of politicians had. Like, okay, I didn't win certain states. I didn't win Texas. I didn't win Idaho. I didn't win Wyoming. But I won the last 47, so I'm the president. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yes. Eventually they got so good and their shit was so dope that it's impossible not to fuck with them. Like, it's impossible. Like, you know, there's no way you can let, you know, you can be the biggest East Coast hip-hop head of all, and there's no way that you can listen to Scarface and say that dude's not dope. There's, you know, you know, I understand. I'm not the biggest Outkast fan. Not to say I don't like any of their music. I do. I'm just
right.
You know, you can't be into everything. And it's not like Outkast is just a regular fucking parody. Like, they're not. Like, they're a unique thing. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just not for me. They're capable of making shit that I like, but I'm not really going to sit down and listen to their discography and shit. Like, you know what I mean? But there's no way you can hear that and not think those dudes are talented. You know what I mean? Like, they clearly fucking are. Like, that's why you'll never hear me knock Outkast, because they're fucking dope. It's just, you know, it's just not for me. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? But, like, that's why I've always loved the South, because dudes were, they were so proud of themselves and proud of where they were that everything just kind of felt more organic. Yeah, and they were just so proud, like, of where they were. I mean, even, like, this is like P.D. Pablo, the first thing was North Carolina, you know what I mean? Like, he made a hometown anthem a national fucking hit. Like, that's fucking impressive, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we know everybody, like, Queensbridge and Brooklyn and all that. We know all that. But, like, I'm from Pittsburgh, dude. Like, I have no business knowing what the fucking Magnolia Project and the Kelly Oak Project are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but they were, like, everybody was so, everywhere in the South, they're so proud of where they're at. And they're so proud to have their own style and their own culture down there, man. They're, like, you can't hate on it, man. You just can't. Like, you know, a writer for a magazine can easily say, like, oh, well, Pimp C is not a great lyricist. He doesn't have bars like Talib Kweli. Like, you think Pimp C gave a fuck? Like, not a, like, people don't understand, like, they had, like, it was about, like, flavor, about style, about, like, what you were saying, not about, like, how you said it, and, you know, if it was complex or anything, man. Some shit, I always give Jay-Z credit for this. There's a very unique and important skill that one must have. It's a way to say some deep, complex shit in a very simple way. To where, like, everybody will say it, but only a few really know what it means. And a lot of Southern people know how to do that. A lot of Southern people know how to do that. They'll just say something that's just, on the surface, is just some easy rhymes, nothing, you know, it's door and floor. It's not some complex fucking rhyme. But then when you really think about what they just said, like, oh, shit, that's pretty fucking ill. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Jay-Z's good at it. Not that many people are good at it, but a lot of people in the South are, you know. But yeah, I sure loved the whole South, not just New Orleans. I sure loved the whole South. I love everywhere, for real, man. Like, I could talk for an hour about the Bay Area, about Flint, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, and Chicago. Like, I'm very well versed in all of these, you know what I mean? But the South always, you know, I always had a special place in my heart for the South, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big New York fan, and I love New York rap and Philly rap. I love it. A lot of my favorite rappers are from New York. Like, I've always loved the South, man. You know what I mean? Memphis, New Orleans, Houston, Atlanta, you know. Not so much Florida, but there's some good rappers, you know what I mean? But yeah, the New Orleans and Houston, Baton Rouge too, you know what I mean? Like, all those things. But guys, I don't know what happened. Bleeleg was in contact with me the whole fucking week. I sent him a reminder yesterday. He was like, bet. Sent him the number. Everything today, gave me a thumbs up. I messaged him and said, hey, man, we're live. He sent me the thumbs up. Another fucking call, man. I'll get in touch with him. You know, we can try to squeeze him in somewhere down the road. You know, yeah. If he doesn't show up next time, then we're going to have to move on. You know what I mean? Bootleg's a good dude. I've interviewed him many times. Yeah, I actually like wanted to talk to him because like I have some like cool memories with him and shit, and his story's real cool. You know what I mean? But we'll get, you know, I'll talk to him, see what happens, man. And
yeah, we'll definitely try to work it in. Ain't no thing. You know, it is the holidays.
Yeah, it is. You know what I mean? Like, in hindsight, you know, we should have waited until like next week to do it, but I'll talk to him. He's never done that to me before. I've interviewed this dude like, I think four times, I think. It'd be like my fifth interview with him. He's usually very on point and stuff. So, you know, maybe just got wrapped up or some shit. I mean, there's snow in Michigan, too. Who fucking knows? You know what I mean? So, I'll talk to him. We'll try to make it up.
Yeah, man. We about to wrap it up anyway a little early because I got to take care of this these errands for the morning. But it's always good chopping it up with you guys about this culture because sometimes we just need to diversify and, you know, just build without guests at times. That's a beautiful thing because it shows that we have personality as well.
Yeah, plug it. I mean, it's a Sunday night, man. We chopped it up about some cool shit, man. Fuck it. You know what I mean? You can still throw this up, man. Like, we're just sitting here chopping it up, man. Good conversation, man. You know what I mean?
Definitely. So, man. So, we definitely going to work that in, man. And December, I'm going to let y'all know. Before I go, man, I'm going to let my cousin know. I know you listening, nigga. I'm going to kick your ass for putting me as a meme right now. He should have told me this first. Then he did the one with me coming back Paul. He did the Menace to Society one. He put me as Kane. He put Paul as Wax. And he put Comet as Old Dog. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get you.
Oh, shit. Y'all still hear me?
All right, yo.
So, yeah, I don't have to put that out there. So, yeah, on that note, man, we about to be up out of here. This is King Eric signing out. Check us out next week. Holla.